Greetings to every one of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God for giving me this opportunity once again to come to you with the word of God in regards to the youth message. Our God is a good God. We had a wonderful time yesterday listening to the word of God about missions, why we need missions. I hope it was a great blessing for everybody. It was a great blessing for me too. So let us continue to listen what God has inspired in my life to speak to you. For today's meditation, I would like to read a verse from the Bible. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says like this: "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to your presence, O God. O Lord, we thank you, Lord Master, for your grace, Lord Master. We thank you for giving us this opportunity, O Lord, especially, Lord, to gather through this online platform. In the midst of adverse situations, we thank you, Master. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would speak to us, Lord. Speak to me, speak to everyone who's listening this voice, Lord. Expound your word, Lord. Let your word, Lord, become, Lord, a true reality, Lord, in our lives. And help us to obey it, to follow you, and, Lord, to be blessed because of it, Lord. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Continue to bless and lead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we can see Paul writing to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says like this: "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." As I was meditating what to talk about, God put into my heart certain thoughts that I'm going to share with you. Paul, when he's writing to Timothy, he asks him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is what the message today: to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To be strong in the grace of God. When we read about grace, it is a word which is being abused by many Christians. The reason why we can understand that they use the word grace to do many things. For instance, many people take advantage of the word grace also. But we should understand that grace of God is very important in our life. We are alive because of grace. The Bible says we are saved because of grace. We are not saved by our own works, but by the grace of God. Grace is the one which upholds us, leads us, will sustain us. So we should understand we cannot set aside the grace of God. And what here Timothy is being advised by Paul is, you have to be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus. So through the grace in Christ Jesus, we should become strong. How can we be strong in the Lord? How can we become strong in Jesus Christ? That is the message today that I'm going to share with you. But Paul himself writes the answers here. If you read very carefully the book of 2 Timothy itself, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, you can find 5 reasons which I'm going to share with you how we can be strong in the Lord. The first thing when you read 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13, let me read it to you. It says like this: "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So the first thing we can see here in the 13th verse, Paul writes, "Hold fast to the pattern of strong words, sound words, sorry. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. So the first thing, if we want to be strong in the Lord, what we have to do is hold fast to the pattern of sound words. In the days of Timothy, they did not have the word of God, but it was Paul who was teaching Timothy, and also Timothy learned the word of God through his grandmother and his mother, who were very strong believers. But here Timothy is being advised, you hold fast the pattern of sound words. So what was Timothy taught? Timothy was taught by Paul to keep up the word of the Lord. But today in this 21st century, when we are alive, we are fortunate to have the word of God. We are fortunate in our lives to have the Bible, which is so available to each and every one of us. If I'm not wrong, we all have more than one Bible sometimes. We have plenty of Bibles in our home. But the word of the Lord is the only thing that can keep us strong. It is not anything else that can substitute for the word of God. You cannot substitute worship for the word of God. You cannot substitute anything else for God's word. So that is why even when we gather together, when we do a worship together, the word of God takes the utmost importance. But that is not only enough in our life. Not hearing the word of God only in the congregate setting is not enough. What it is our duty to read the word. Young people, you should develop a habit to read the word of God every day. You should develop a habit so that you should know what is written in the word of God. If you do not know what is written, you cannot go outside. You cannot share it with anybody. You cannot believe what is written. You cannot know what is being taught. So it is important for young people, not only for young people, for everyone in the church, to read the word of God, to meditate the word of God, to ponder it in your heart, to think, what is this word? Why is this written? What is the application of this word in my life? And to obey it. That is what the Lord wants us. That is how you can be strong in the Lord. That's why he says here, Paul is writing to Timothy, hold fast for the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And who is going to help you? The Holy Spirit which dwells in our life. So the Holy Spirit, when you read the word of God, when you meditate on it, you ask the Holy Spirit to expound it. There will be passages that you would not understand. There would be circumstances when it may not be interesting to you. But ask the Holy Spirit what it is. And certainly the Lord will reveal it to you. So today you can see there is no substitute for the word of God. It cannot be replaced with songs at all. It cannot be replaced with anything. But the word of God is the only one a person can become strong. For instance, as we need food for the stomach, as we need all nutrients for us to live, similarly, we need the word of God to sustain this Christian life. If you are living on this earth today, we need the word of God to be in our lives. Not only that, I would say one more thing is, like the roots of a tree that is hidden. When you see a tree, you cannot see the roots, but you see the outward tree. You can see the branches, you can see the leaves, you can see everything. But the deep the roots grow, the stronger the tree becomes. How deep the roots grow, the stronger the tree becomes. Similarly, how deep we grow in the Lord, how deep you grow in the word, the stronger you will become. People will be seeing our outer appearance alone, but the inner part, which is not seen, is the root of the tree. Similarly, the holding fast to the word of God may not be seen outside, But what has to be seen outside is our life will be seen outside. The word of God which works in our life, when you read it, when you meditate it, when you ponder it in your heart, when you think about it in your heart, and when you obey it, what will happen is that will be reflected in your lives. So this is what Paul writes to Timothy. This is what Paul says. Therefore, when he says in the second verse, he brings a summary there. What is the summary he said is, he tells first is, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Today also, how is our prayer? How is our Bible reading with God? How is our meditation in the sight of the Lord? Nobody is going to judge you on these things. Nobody could can ever can. Nobody is going to come and ask you what is this. But it is how it is your responsibility between God and you. So today, if your Bible reading, if your meditation, if it's not right in the presence of God, today is the time that God desires that our Bible reading, our meditation, our pondering of the word would become strong in Him. So today, make a decision today before we go, before we depart, that I would start reading the word of God. I would start meditating the word of God. I would start pondering the word of God, and I will obey the word of God. Paul doesn't end up there. He continues to say in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he says like this. I will read it for you. And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he again says the same thing, the first part. And these things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit them to faithful men. So what is this meaning here? The second thing, if you want to be strong in the grace of the Lord, you should commit, Timothy, you should commit the things that you are having to other people. In other words, you cannot keep it to yourself. You cannot say, oh, God has given me this revelation. God has given me this beautiful relationship. I'm happy with that. No, Timothy, that's not what God wants you to do. What God wants Timothy to do, or God wants us to do, is you should exercise the teachings that God has given to you. Christian life is not a selfish life, that I alone attain the salvation. You have to share the word of God with others. You have to train others. You have to exhort others. You have to empower them. What does this mean? It means that you should have a fellowship. Your fellowship with a small group of people where you can teach them, where you can also receive and teach. That is the best place where a person can grow. Because in fellowship is not only, fellowship doesn't mean just coming and gathering together. Fellowship means walking together with a person. So similarly, you should have a fellowship with like-minded brothers, where you can teach them, where you can also receive from them, and you can learn from them. That is what is being advised here. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you should make sure that you are also giving out what you have. If you do not give what you have becomes stagnant. It is of no use to anybody. But what the Lord desires is that you should grow together using fellowship, and you should not allow slackness or rust which could occur in a Christian's life. Ensuring that fellowship you have is to improve your walk with the Lord. It helps you to teach others and what God has installed in you, and also to ensure that all the unwanted things in your life can be removed out. That is why it is very important to have fellowship. That is why it is very important to share what we have learned, to other believers, to other like-minded people, and certainly God will make us a blessing and you will become strong in the Lord. That is how, Timothy, you can be strong. That is how, Timothy, God, Paul is writing, you can be strong in the grace of in Jesus Christ is by teaching others, by getting from others, and so that they will also flourish also. Then when you read from the next three points, we can see it in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. There is three analogies which is given there. There are three things which Paul writes. I will read to you the verse 3 and 4. It says like this, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus means the first two things are very important: holding fast to the word of God, exercising the teachings that God has given to us. The next thing what you should do is endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You and I, life is not going to be easy as a good soldier. When you think about a soldier, he is going to stand up for a particular cause. He is going to stand up for the truth. That is what God wants from us. People around us will mock at us. Just imagine, many of us are, all of us are from India. So we can know that now we have an India-China border issue. You can see that soldiers are standing there. It's not an easy task there. They have to leave their family. They have to sacrifice many things. And they are standing to protect the border of the country. Similarly, God wants us also to endure hardship. What does this mean? To stand up for the Lord. When you stand up for the Lord, it is not going to be easy for you. People will ridicule you. People will mock at you. People will say you are doing something stupid. That's what your friends will say to you, because they do not know the power of God, because they have not experienced Jesus in their personal life. That is why they would say like that. But what you should do, if you have the first two parts, which is very important, if you know the word of God, and if you know that you have to give it to others, you will end your hardships. If you ask a soldier who's in the borderline or in the front line, he will say, "I have a mission in my life. I have a purpose in my life. When the enemy is shooting me, I cannot be using my cell phone and I cannot be playing with it. I have a mission at that time." Similarly, God wants us to put on the full armor of God. God wants us to go out with a mission. God put us in this world with a plan and a purpose, to find out that plan and that purpose and to endure hardship as a good soldier is what God wants in our life. And not only that, to accomplish the task. A soldier who's placed there has a task that he has to do. Either it may be to protect the country, to protect the citizen, or to protect other people, but he is fixed with a task. Similarly, you and I have a task which God intends in us, that we have to do. That is what a good soldier means. So if you want to be strong in the grace of God, what you should do is end your hardships for the Lord. What are you doing for the Lord today? Are you able to spend at least 1 hour for God, doing the things of God? We have plenty of time. We have time that where we do many things for ourselves. We spend time, a lot of time, including me also, on many things. We spend time for entertainment. We spend time with family. We spend time with friends. But can you stand up for the Lord and do the Lord's work at least 1 hour in a week? Can you do it? Can you spend time? What the task that God has given you? Can you do that? That is what God desires. That is what God says. If you want to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to endure hardships. That's why he says, he who has 10-5 talents, when he worked more, God will give bestow him more. When you see the reward, you can see there. Similarly, when you work for the Lord, there is more. God will give you grace to stand as a good soldier. Today, you and I have to think, where are we? Are we standing as a good soldier for the Lord? I know I can speak a long time on these topics, but I want to cut short giving you all the message that God that came to my mind. The next part you can see is, you can see that in the fifth verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says like this, also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The last time when I spoke in a Friday meeting, I think I spoke running with a goal. But here you can see that you should compete according to the rules. In this world, we can see that to compete in a competition, there are rules and stipulations. There are rules that we have to follow. For instance, a 20-year-old person cannot run with a 10-year-old person. It makes no, it's no match. But what does it mean competing against? Does it mean that I have a competition with my brethren? No, that is not what God means. For instance, do I have a competition that I should pray more than the next person and I would be called holy? No, that's not what God means here. What God means here is, or what Paul writes here is, there are rules and regulations in the kingdom of God. When you enter into a race, as there is a rules and regulations, similarly, there are rules and regulations in God's kingdom. Some Christians state that God is so gracious, so we don't need regulations. We don't have rules and regulations. But if you read the Bible, if you read from Genesis till Revelation, there are many rules, many regulations which is given. But what it is, the difference is, for instance, we have to love our enemies. How a leader should be, how an elder should be. You should do not trample the word of God. These are all rules, or you can say good advice which is given to us. But God's rules are not enforced like here. If you see in this worldly sense, you have the police to enforce the rules. We have the court to enforce the law. We have the government who's working to enforce things. But here, God's rules are not enforced, but are willingly taken by those who run it. Let me say it once again. God's rules are not enforced, but are willingly taken by those who run it. So if you are running this race, you have to compete according to the rules of this Bible. You cannot say God is gracious and walk on your own way. You cannot say God is so merciful, I can walk my own way and come back. No, that's not what God desires. You should follow God's rules and regulations voluntarily, willingly, accepting what he says and obey it. How is it possible? It's possible by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life, molding our nature according to his will and desire, and working according to the will of God. We can certainly be able to obey the word of God. We can be able to compete in the race. We will not be a failure in our Christian life if we compete according to the rules. We cannot be strong in the grace of God if we do not compete according to the rules. That's why we see many people who are shining once in the kingdom of God are no more even in God's kingdom. What happened to them? They took the grace of God for granted. So let us not take God's grace as granted. Let us not take advantage of God's grace. But what we should do is we should take it willingly. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we can do. And lastly, I would like to say one more thing and conclude. In the sixth verse, you can see like this. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. There's many meaning to this word. But when you read here, I would just add one perspective to that word there. When a farmer will rejoice when he sees the crops growing, his soul is bountiful or very happy when he sees a great harvest. This is how God will be happy when he sees a great harvest. The spiritual harvest that God wants us to see is people coming to his presence, accepting him as his personal savior, growing in the Lord, becoming as his bride, and being in part of his kingdom. That is what is partaking in the harvest. God doesn't care whoever it is, whichever nationality, whichever person it is, but what God is intended is whether we can submit ourselves into the hands of God. What this partaking in the harvest means, it brings joy in the Lord. It brings joy for the Lord, and it also brings joy for the person who worked. And what we should do, do you want to be a partaker of the harvest? What we have to do, we have to pray for a great harvest. I know these days we are in prayer, but let us continue to pray for a great harvest, because the Bible says like this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So we have to pray for a great harvest, not only to pray, to be a partaker of the harvest. Because when you are a partaker of the harvest, not only the joy of the Lord, you can also rejoice in the Lord. You can have joy in the Lord. This is how we can be strong in the Lord. When Paul writes this simple statement, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, he reminds Timothy all these things there. Similarly, today, I would like to conclude saying, are we strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Can we say, oh, I am strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? If we need to say that we are strong, let us hold fast to the word of God. The word of God will never leave us. The word of God cannot be replaced. What we have to do is meditate it, ponder it, read it, and obey it. What next you have to do is teach others the word of God with fellowship. You have to exercise what you have learned to other people. When you do that, it will be a great blessing, not only for you, but also you can learn from other people also. Next, what to be strong in the grace, what we have to do is we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. As a good soldier, we have to stand up for God. We have to do things for God. Next, what we saw is we have to compete according to the rules, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life, to be molded, our old nature would be taken off, and that we would be according to his will and desire. And lastly, to be strong in the Lord, we have to be a partaker in the harvest. Let us all submit to God. We are weak vessels. If we are all weak, we need Jesus more. We need to be strong in Jesus. Let us ask God, who can strengthen us in every aspect of our life, and God will certainly bless us. Let the good Lord bless you with these words. Thank you.